You're listening to Munch, a podcast and website where we pair meals with movies. I'm drunk.
I'm Andre.
And I'm Mrs. Peacock.
And this week, we're here talking about the movie Clue, which is the start of our tabletop series, a series of movies devoted to films that started out as board games and then have been turned into films, such as Jumanji, Clue, Battleship.
Those are all the ones we're covering.
There's one more, but we didn't agree to watch it.
What film?
Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah.
Also, Catan has been in talks for a long time to have a film come out for it.
That doesn't need a film.
No, it doesn't. It's like...
Like, what is that? Just
an hour of people asking for sheep. Who needs sheep? Does anyone need sheep?
It's
all about wood.
Oh, you need sheep? I got wheat.
I need brick. Everyone needs brick.
It's all about wood so you can build the longest road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That normally wins.
Yeah. It does. Wood's easy. Brick's tough. And ore, don't even get me started.
don't get Andre started.
Not on ore.
So we just watched Clue, the food of which was devoted to very distinct characters within that film. More specifically, Miss Scarlet, Mrs. P. We did not do something for Mrs. Peacock.
We did.
Yep. She was blue.
Purple.
No, that was Professor Plum. Great.
Professor Pun. All right. You know what's actually throwing me off? The film is throwing me off here.
Because they don't wear the colors that they proclaim to be.
And that is my biggest complaint about the film. I'm just going to air it right now.
You should not watch Reservoir Dogs because they all wear black and white suits.
Dislike that.
Yeah. For a film,
not into that.
For a film that embraced the game aspect of it, it felt very strange for it to totally forego the characters wearing their specific colors.
Like, there was no reason for it. Like, the film was ridiculous enough that they could have gone away with it.
They could have done that. Anyway.
They could have.
Anyway. So we did a menu based around specific colors, specifically around Mrs. Peacock, Professor Plum, Colonel Mustard, and...
Miss Scarlet. And all of the foods were... We tried to make them all seem at least classy enough that they would be served at a dinner party. So they fit in with the general motif of the film.
While being color appropriate.
Exactly.
So you can go to getmunchedup.com, look at our post related to Clue, which is the start of our board game series, or our tabletop series, as we like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that entire slew of photography. Slew, which is...
Rhymes with Clue.
Fortunately enough. And I think we're just going to leave it at there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's enough rhymes.
Yeah. And now for the drinking rules on this film, which we've been in a mood of not doing just a normal three drinking rules. We've been kind of switching it up recently. This time around, it was we had two drinking rules and kind of a drafting rule. The first rule was whenever a clue is mentioned, take a drink.
We were pretty liberal with that. Like, at the beginning...
One of us more than others.
You have to be liberal with that. Because there's not actually many clues.
Well, it depends on how you read the movie.
Yeah, that is fair.
I drink for quite a few clues.
Yeah, you did.
You can call anything really... According to Lana, anything that happens is a clue.
Well, that's kind of how the movie played out, so...
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
I tend to side with Leanna in this situation because the film is not explicit about its clues. I feel like you need to have liberty with it.
I don't think you can have a clue before a crime happens.
But the film also has three endings. Yeah. So what do you want to do with that?
I would still look for clues after the crime happens.
Before a crime happens... Like, looking back on a crime, clues happen before the crime happens. Like, fingerprints and things can occur before the actual crime happens. So you need to be on the lookout, ready, looking for clues before the crime happens.
What Ben said.
But you just, anything would happen. Like, she would say, oh, this is my favorite dish. And you would say,
that's a clue. And you know what? When they were explaining the murders, did that come up as a clue? Yes, it fucking did.
All right.
And I drink for that when it happened. Uh-huh. And I drink again when they formally named it a clue.
Yeah.
So that's on you.
Yeah. All right.
So another clue was whenever the doorbell rings, take a drink, which I think actually ended up being a very good clue.
Yeah, there's a brief...
There's a
break in the middle, but yes. It hits you hard and fast in the beginning and end.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one.
Which is a good... That's a great drinking rule.
And then an hour in, you're like, they're still ringing the doorbell? I thought all the characters have been introduced.
Not yet.
Oh. It's a surprise.
They haven't had the telegram girl yet. Oh, she's already dead.
Oh, this cop who just spoilers. Happens to be on this...
Yeah, sorry, I spoiled the 1984 clue.
1985, but still. Come
on, filmed in 84.
That's a whole year. I wouldn't be so sure.
Is that how we date the movies on yeah. Bunch? Like the date, the year that they were filmed, not yes. The year they came out. Okay.
Let me do a quick Google search.
We don't need to, and we can keep moving on.
Okay, our final drinking rule was the drafting Siri, rule.
Which year was Clue filmed in?
Having some trouble.
Siri's not doing too great. Yeah. I'll be honest.
80, we can just 84.
No.
So our last rule.
I'm not
going
to allow that to happen.
The drafting rule.
Our last rule was the drafting rule, was essentially there was kind of a push and pull there where as soon as you draft a character, you can lock that character in. So there is incentive to draft it earlier in the film so that you can. Essentially, claim a character, and so Liana claimed a character early in the film, going with Mrs. Peacock.
I feel like I great was like choice. 10 or 15 minutes in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great choice.
It was her third line, and you were like, I want Peacock.
Because she's the best.
She was really good.
She was very good.
So good.
Yeah. Andre and I waited a little bit. Andre,
By
I
a little bit, clues. You waited like an hour.
Yeah, until
we were like 10 minutes away before they started revealing what actually happened.
And you know what? I got one of the murderers right.
Well, we all kind of did in a weird way.
Everyone, I think, except for Colonel Mustard, was a murderer in some way.
No, he was a murderer.
Who did he kill?
Yeah, he murdered. Oh, God, I don't remember now, but he murdered someone.
No, he didn't.
No, he was accused.
A bunch of people in the war, probably.
Yeah.
The only people who didn't murder anyone.
Uh-huh.
Were Professor Plum, I don't think, murdered anyone. Mr. Green didn't murder anyone until the very end of the canonical ending.
Yeah.
And even then, it was a murder that happened, like,
in purpose of...
Well, and it happened in live action. Like, it didn't happen...
Yeah, it was more of, like, manslaughter.
Yes.
But, like, purposefully.
Isn't that what manslaughter is?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no. Manslaughter is
like
accidental.
He wouldn't. Yeah, he wouldn't be tried for manslaughter because I think they were like it still wasn't self defense. They were like, okay, let's kill Mr. Body at that point because he was in the FBI. They were like, he was a Jason Bourne situation.
I think we need to back up because there's probably a lot of people who are our listeners that have not ever seen this film. So like,
yes,
I,
we are
I
jumping
ahead.
So my choice was Mr. Green, which.
He was wearing all blue, so it's easy to remember.
And it's worth mentioning that this film actually has three different endings. And
which is great!
It's amazing!
I love that fact. I wish more films did that in all.
So you watch the whole movie, and the butler explains how it happens, and you see who the murderer is, and it's...
The first murderer is Miss Scarlet.
Miss Scarlet.
Miss Scarlet. And then, great choice.
And then in like the black and white kind of like, it covers the screen...
Like
that
silent
could have
movie
happened,
style.
But, and then it shows a whole different ending
which
where
is
Miss
Peacock
kills everyone. And then it said, but here's what really happened. And it showed that my character,
completely
Mrs. White,
different end.
Was a murderer.
But also Mr. Green ends up killing the true Mr. Body.
And Mrs. Peacock also kills someone.
Which is kind of just a mess of an ending.
Basically, the real ending is like, everyone kills someone.
Except for Colonel Mustard.
No, he did kill someone. I just don't remember who it was.
A likely story.
All right. Let's put ourselves... This film just came out. You go to a theater Which ending would you have preferred to have seen?
Either Miss Scarlet or Mrs. Peacock. Like, I like where it all wraps up very with one clear, character.
Yeah, it's not messy, similar to how the actual ending is. Also, let me set this up in saying that how the film seemed to approach it, there was a true canonical ending.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, here's one way it could have happened, here's another way it could have happened, but here's actually how it happened.
Oh, but here's something a lot of our audience probably doesn't know. In different theaters across the country, they show, when this movie was in theaters, they showed each of the three different endings to different audiences. Which is
such a great idea.
It's so cool.
That's amazing.
It's impossible to spoil, because you hear Mrs. Peacock did it, and then you watch the movie, you think it's going to be Mrs. Peacock the whole time. What?
And this is
Miss Scarlet did it?
This is in 1985. This is before social media and before spoilers are all over the internet. Do you think that would still
play out now? Do you think that would, like...
I think now it would be even more hilarious. Because you would get some movie blogger who would go to some showing in some town, and they would write, oh my god, you won't believe who did it. And it would describe one character, and someone would read it and be like, no, you're wrong. I saw blah, blah, blah. And it would cause like a whole internet uproar.
People would get fired from BuzzFeed. People would get fired from Jezebel. People would get fired all over the place.
I feel like that would really be hilarious. I really like
the idea. Yeah. Like, I don't think three endings would be enough for this modern 17. Day and age.
Oh, you need like, yeah.
You need a lot more. But I really like this idea. And I think there's something, there's like a, I hate this phrasing, but there's a certain sense of virality to having different endings, which I'm surprised, honestly, that other films haven't approached. But I also, like, in a weird way, how do you... you have to assume that the film is not good enough to be eventually awarded Oscar nominations and things like that. Because then when you decide to send screeners out to the judges for the Academy Awards, how do you decide what version to send? Yeah. Or if can you even send different versions out?
And can you... I guess if there can be three different endings to a movie, then the audience cannot figure it out on their own.
There's and not how enough do you clues, even review that?
There's not enough clues left for you to figure it out on your own. Because different people kill different people in each ending. Yes. And it's not like the meat of the movie is different in any way. They just reveal at the end, this is what happened when you weren't watching, and they reveal it three different ways.
But this goes back to when we were talking about Cabin in the Woods last weekend.
Yeah.
And
Cabin in the Woods is a horror movie that's kind of a...
If you haven't been paying attention to the Munch podcast series, Cabin in the Woods was our recent watch for Halloween.
Where there were multiple monsters, and we thought that in a better version of Cabin in the Woods, which is to say Cabin in the Woods is already a very good movie.
Yeah.
But it would have been...
If it had actually played out that way.
If it had played out this way and they had had different... There's a scene in the film where all the characters are holding different items that would bring to bear a different monster. If there were different monsters that happen in different theaters across America, that would be so great.
Yeah.
It'd be so good.
Like, I would love that idea, and I'm... I understand the reasoning behind not approaching it that way, because there's a certain difficulty in that. One, I think in this modern age, distributing different films to different theaters, there's difficulty around that.
But could you imagine, like, Netflix is also in the business of releasing films, and Netflix...
Mm. That's basically an A-B test.
Yeah, Netflix could A, B, C, D, E test.
F-G?
F-G!
Whoa.
Films. Whoa. Because they could control. Really, they could be like...
Like, I really like this idea, and I'm surprised it...
No one's done this. Hollywood, call us.
Yes.
We're here. We have so many good ideas.
So many good ideas. Like, I'm...
Well, we're about to go play Hidden Agenda, which I think is the same thing.
Kinda.
But this interactivity...
But that's a video game in a weird way, which has a pre-existing structure of, like...
You control the ending.
Or at least slightly different endings. I'm sure there is a structurally centered idea of an ending, and there's slight deviations of that.
But, for example, Game of Thrones right now.
Yeah.
They're so paranoid about spoilers for the last season.
A little too much.
That supposedly they're filming the last season where they're not even giving the actors the scripts, and they're just going to give them earpieces, and they're going to read the lines to them as they film it.
That sounds horrible. I don't like that.
That sounds horrible.
It does sound horrible, but that's...
Imagine being an actor and having to deal with that.
I know.
Yeah.
What if they just filmed three different endings?
Yeah.
And like, then...
Give them all those script options. They have to memorize it regardless. The actors don't know what is the true
ending. They record all of them. They don't know what happened.
Yeah, with the full budget, full everything. And then HBO is like, okay, we're going to give states these... 30% of the states will get this ending, 30% will get this ending, and the other 30% will get this ending.
I really like that idea.
And then you're like, ugh, BuzzFeed, spoil it for me on Facebook.
And you go on Twitter, and you see spoilers, and then you watch the show, and it's different. Like, how that, like, mess with my mind is good.
I'm honestly surprised it hasn't happened, because in this age in which... information travels so quickly
and people want to spread so quickly. Everything.
Yeah, like that's a way to get around that in a way.
There's a way to get someone to watch your
where it's like surprise. Times. But quick question: once you find out that there's different endings, do you then, or once you reach the end of the season, do you then serve up that person different endings, or how do you deal with the situation in which a person views an ending, views that as their one true ending? But also then realizes that there are like 4 or 5 or 6 different endings out there, and then wants to watch those. Let them.
Yeah, I think you...
Does that not ruin the charm in a weird way?
Not every show can do that. I think it would be a mistake for every show to be like, okay, cool, we'll just make 4 different endings. Like, no, you can't do that.
Yes.
I think there are certain shows where that will work and shows where there won't. I think you...
What would work and what... Like, what describes a show... in which that would work versus a show.
Oh, like Lost. Like, it could have a good ending.
Shows where there's a lot of fanfare.
Wow. Andre just calling out Lost right here on this podcast. Yeah.
But
you heard it here first, folks. Lost's ending was a little disappointing.
But I think shows where there's a lot of fan theories and there's just a lot of just conversation and...
Can you just...
People trying to...
Can you provide a couple examples just to...
Game of Thrones is one for sure. I think...
And how would that play out in Game of Thrones specifically?
Well, in Game of Thrones, you have a lot of different people vying for the same throne.
Yeah.
So you could easily have 4 different endings where 4 different people get the throne.
Okay.
And we're on the last season now, so you could see how...
You have that potential.
You have that potential to... With Game of Thrones, you might have to build it over, like, the last 3 episodes, where there's slight differentials, but...
Instead of just the one.
Exactly. Yeah. But I can still see that working, because the key is that there's an ending in mind where one person is, like, the winner or the murderer or the loser or something. Same with Clue, where, like, the reason why they could have 3 different endings was because they could pick 3 different murderers.
Yeah.
Another one, I think, where it would work is Westworld.
Yep.
I could see...
That is another one that I thought in my mind where I could see that working.
Yeah, where...
Like, there's enough variation in the routines that played out where... Just one slight change here or there could change the storyline for this character or that character.
But the thing is, they have to end it at the end of a series. Because if they end season 1 differently, then
you essentially have to choose a canonical 2, 3, version.
4, yeah, it's heavy.
It's an end of the series play, not end of a season play.
Like in 1, you could have they were in purgatory the whole time. In another one, you could answer all the questions that you've been building up for like 7 years. You actually answer those.
Quick question.
Uh-huh.
Is that dissatisfying to
the people who had to watch the purgatory one?
Or just to get one version of a series... And then to constantly bicker over the next who knows how many years because there's never actually a true ending. Like, is that dissatisfying to you as a viewer to get one ending, understand to yourself that that is the true ending because you saw it that way, where everyone else is like, no, this is actually how it worked out. and then for there actually not to be a true canonical ending.
So I think it depends on the series.
Yeah.
Where it might be a series where they try to leave a lot of details up to interpretation, and so making the series end also up into interpretation felt normal, like it was already what you were used to, versus what they did in Clue, where it felt like there were multiple endings, but there was one clear canonical ending. And so having the multiple endings was just to kind of build your suspense, and it took maybe a couple weeks for the true ending to come out, and so you still got that closure, but they pulled you along just a little bit longer. Because it's always sad when your favorite series ends and you're like, oh, this is it. I've seen it all.
I think it's fun too to have a little bit of an experience with a movie outside of the theater. Mm-hmm. Like to do like with Interstellar, you do some reading outside of the theater and you realize things that didn't happen.
Or yeah. Specifically for me, I think back to my experience with Cloverfield. Mm. Where I watched Cloverfield in the theater, and then I went home and I was like, I need to find out more about this film, because there wasn't enough.
That could be a movie with multiple endings.
Yeah, there wasn't enough that sat with me, and like, all right, I need to read more about how this creature came to be and things like that. And there was both the movie, and then my experience outside of that movie ultimately enhanced my experience with that film.
It's that's an example of a one-off movie. Well, now there's been two, but still, when it came out, that I feel like that's the type of movie where they could have had two or three endings to it, and people would have had different experiences that all would have been good, but they all would have ended slightly differently. Another TV series that comes to mind is Mr. Robot.
Sure.
Where I haven't seen the most recent season, and I feel like it's still very much building, but there's enough mystery and intrigue and
that you could see different.
I could see different endings. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's another film where there's a lot of dialogue about it, a lot of writing about it. Mm. And I would love for the writers to just throw everybody off and like leak. This would be in such Mr. Robot style too, where they leak the last episode to different people and there's different endings.
Yes. Yeah.
And that so,
and then they show a different one on TV.
They show a different one on TV.
Yeah.
But, like, but oh somehow.
My gosh. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's
like,
great.
If you even, like, yeah, to your point, specifically leaking out a version of the trailer, being like, hey, everyone, this is the actual ending of the trailer.
Like, they leak one on Twitter, they leak one on.
They at least went on Pirate Bay, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
And then that actually.
And then they air one on TV and
that is very different. Oh my gosh, that sounds so great.
And then they have to sign up for ABC to see the real one. It's so good.
That sounds. I'm honestly surprised no one's done that before.
I know, especially for a show like that where it's all about this exact topic.
We're going to have to hold this episode and sell it to ABC. USA? USA.
Or it's what USA, about CBS? I mean, with CBS has all access.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Like, they not only have Star Trek, but they're working on Twilight Zone.
They also have Young Sheldon. And you could have one where Sheldon grows up to be.
That isn't
Sheldon.
A CBS All Access.
Another
exclusive.
One, he grows up to be.
Old Sheldon.
I was going to say Picard, but sure.
Picard?
Yeah. Picard. We'll cut that one. We'll do that in post.
Pikerd. I love the idea of it being Pikerd.
Here's the thing I wanted to talk about.
Let's hear it.
How true Pikerd. Is this movie to the board game? Like, how well does it capture the spirit of Clue?
Two things that come to mind. Yeah. One, they totally screwed up the costuming. I cannot forgive them for that.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree
it's
completely.
It's very egregious.
Wholehearted.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a good reason why they did either.
No, not at all.
I wasn't buying it.
Like, they built up enough of a narrative to bring everyone in a single room that
they
why
might
not
as
just,
well.
Like, make them wear costumes?
Help me learn the names.
Yeah. No, I wasn't
Two,
buying it.
Two, they at least got all the weapons right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the rooms, correct.
And the rooms.
They clearly call out the names of the rooms as they go into them.
And then, like, the last line of the movie is, it was Mr. Green in the hallway with a revolver.
Jeez.
Yeah,
pretty
it was
good.
A good line.
Pretty good.
But outside of that, like, the names were correct, the rooms were correct, there was a large...
There were secret passageways from room to room.
There were.
People were running from room to room.
There were so more... would you call this a faithful adaptation of that board game?
I think so.
Okay.
There just, were more... just knowing that we're going to watch Battleship later.
Yes. And Jumanji. Yeah.
And I've... I've seen it many times.
I've seen it once.
That's why I played it, though.
There's a specific line in Jumanji that my mom just loves.
Why does that not surprise me?
That doesn't surprise me either,
like,
Andre.
Whenever we watch this film, she, like, will stop whatever she's doing.
I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
Is that the line?
No, yeah, that's from Star Wars. When they cut open the Tauntaun.
What was the reasoning?
That has literally nothing to do with my mom. What are you talking about?
Andre, talk me through that.
Yeah, it's where did that come from?
What was the A to B to C?
It's just a really good line from Empire Strikes Back. When Han Solo has to open up a Tauntaun.
How does that work back to Jumanji?
It's a really good line where he says, and I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
And what Jumanji. Does that have to do with my mom and Jumanji?
Just a really good line.
Okay. Sure. Fair. Fair.
It's very memorable.
Anyway,
Luis loves good lines.
Yes.
She does.
She does.
And when she really likes them, she will, like, she knows when they're coming because she'll watch the movie multiple times because of that line.
She has a predilection towards watching films multiple times. Like, does. I don't know your mom that well, in all honesty, but I have a good sense that she loves a certain set of films, Nacho Libre being one of them,
Napoleon
Terminator 2 being one of them,
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles being another.
Will, that's one too. Yep.
She will watch it a lot.
Yeah.
Also, not Iron Man, Rocket Man? Did she watch that a lot?
A Knight's Tale? That's one.
Not Elf. I'll take that.
Elf? Yeah, that's one. Not as much, though.
I dislike Elf, I'll be honest.
Elf is, yeah.
You're not going to see the musical? Okay.
Anyway, there's a line in Jumanji that she really loves. And
what is it?
Are we going to have a shot rule specifically
yes,
for that
we are.
Line?
Yes, okay. we are. Okay. That's a really good idea. I'm really into these shot rules that we've been doing.
I like it.
It's been fun.
Yeah. So... I think this is a good groundwork for as we approach the later podcast series because
that's what I was going for, yeah.
Yeah, we need to have a structure and style for how we develop the tabletop series. So, yeah. Andre, to your point of like, does this work well to the board game?
Yes.
And I think we're all on board and saying that, hey, yes, this does.
Yeah, it's great.
Spiritually, they capture, like, some of the rules. Like, the gameplay itself is captured in it.
It's also goofy enough.
Where you can see it as a board game or an opportunity for
kids. And they explain the board game a little more, like, whose real name is Colonel Mustard? And then he comes in and he says, my name's Colonel. And then
they cut him off.
They cut him off. They say, your name's Colonel Mustard. So that's not my real name. This is a ridiculous name.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it is here.
You're right.
But I don't want to hear your name. Yeah, I don't want to hear your real name.
And this film, I think we can all agree, the writing on this film was really tight.
Like, yeah, there were some really impressive
things. But the acting in it was sometimes very exaggerated, and in a way that wasn't annoying. It was very fun and comical to
very
watch.
Well done. It was a film that specifically,
and it all felt like it fit into an adaptation of a board game. Like, it all just felt very...
Yeah.
It was great. Like, this film was so good. I did not expect to love this film as much as I did. I would watch this film again.
Tell me a board game that you want to see a movie made out of.
Also, knowing that Catan isn't currently in production to become a film.
I'm going
to
get rid of Catan as an option. I think I would pick... Okay, I have two that come to mind.
All right.
Number one would be Power Grid.
Okay. I could... Yeah, that plays out pretty straightforward. Like, I can see that movie being made, but having, like, just a substantial... Not even substantial, sorry. A subtle connection to the board game itself.
I'm picturing it, like, filmed in the style of The Prestige.
Yes.
Where there's two or three power moguls going up against each other, and they're just relentless, and...
And one of them's Daniel Day-Lewis.
He wasn't in The Prestige, babe.
But I'm just saying he would be. He would be one of the
power moguls. He just decided to retire.
No, for sure, Wolverine and Batman would be.
He just announced his final film, which is the something.
The thread. Power Grid. No, the Power Grid. It's
the something.
Thread. He would be so good as that a power was his mogul.
Final film. No, I doubt he would sign on for a board game
film. Yeah, but wouldn't he be good as a power mogul?
Yes, he would be. I don't disagree with you, Andre.
I reach all the way over here and I eat your power.
But he has also
all right, you had
announced his retirement.
You had two movies.
I did have two movies, but I also wanted to say that Viola Davis would be one of my power moguls.
Okay.
In that film.
She would be great. Okay.
Don't you think so?
She would be so great.
Yeah. Anyway.
Phantom Thread is Daniel Day-Lewis's last film.
Mm.
Okay.
Which and then is the... already like has a lot of hype around it, despite even not being screened to anyone yet. It's actually like, if you look up on Google, like best films of the 21st century, that's already on the list, despite not even they being screened to anyone.
Daniel Day was going to be in it, and they knew.
Sign me up.
Mm-hmm. Get him in Power Grid, the movie. What's the other one?
The other one is Clank.
Okay.
How do you imagine that playing out?
So in that one, I'm imagining it more as a kind of a heist movie,
mm-hmm.
but it takes place in medieval times, which you don't always see, like medieval heist.
Mm.
And there's a group of medieval characters.
I like that idea, actually.
Right? And they get ready for
genre
a heist.
Genre bending.
And they have to go down into this dungeon and fight different monsters and ice caves and collect different treasure and... There's a race to make it out alive as they realize that they can actually compete against each other to get the most treasure. Whoa. So they're turning against each other. And I could see that being very good as well.
I do like that idea. Like that's eventually, fine. Like you think they're kind of working together, but eventually one of them backstabs the other.
Exactly.
And then it all falls apart. Yes.
And I have to say, I would definitely watch a film called Power Grid. And I would...
Power Grid.
Power Grid's a pretty good name.
And I would also definitely watch a film called Clank.
That was Clank doesn't sound...
Like, it sounds too much like Crank, which also, is a very bad movie.
Yeah, also like Crash.
Uh-huh.
In a weird way. Clank doesn't work as well. No. But I like Power Grid.
Power Grid's good. Or the Power Grid.
You know what? I'll take it.
I like that as well.
The Power Andre, Grid? The yeah, power I could grid. See that. Maybe Andre, he's in front of it.
I was kind of picturing Dominion. And this one,
I think you guys also need to mention some like actors, actresses that you would
Matt Damon
films to.
Matt Damon.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not that I want Matt Damon, but I know that Matt Damon would be in this one. Right?
I see it. You're not wrong.
Yeah, he would be like an unwilling knight, you know.
Yeah.
Ends up being a king or something like that.
How do you see this movie playing out?
Matt Damon.
Yeah, what expansion pack?
Oh, is it Dark Ages? Is it...
Prosperity?
Intrigue?
It was Vanilla.
Oh,
it was Vanilla. It's just like, there's some king and they asked Matt Damon to expand their dominion.
They need a lead and options like for action. Sequels.
Yeah, he has like a really big action.
There's gotta be sequels.
Yeah, there will be. There'll be Prosperity. Yeah. And that one
King's
you might
Court.
Have. Yeah,
you
King's
know what
Court.
I mean.
Yeah, exactly. And in that one, I want to have...
This sounds like a bad series on the History Channel, to be honest.
Library. This is the orb.
Yeah, that would be a really good one. And I think Time Stories would be fun, too.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, so you have people going like back in time to weird times.
We need to play more Time Stories.
I know. We want
Time Stories feels more like a Showtime or HBO series.
Yeah. Or sci-fi.
Oh, yeah.
Sci-fi.
Sci-fi, low-budget sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm into that, actually. Yeah. I would watch that.
Mm-hmm, I would
because
too.
if Showtime picked it up, they would call it Time Stories. If Sci-Fi picked it up, it would be TIME Stories, which would be more accurate.
Yeah, right. That is how it's like written.
Yeah,
it's T.I.M.E.
The international
whatever.
Ben,
we're very good.
Those
at this.
Are my two movies. What are yours?
I really like those ideas. Wait, yeah. On Time Stories, who do you imagine the actor be?
I think it would probably be...
I could see Scarlett Johansson in those.
Sure. Really? Sure. I could see that. I could see Donald Glover, I think, could be really fun. I'm thinking of him in The Martian as, like, the kind of cool scientist. But now he's the cool scientist that goes back in time.
Donald Glover needs to be in more.
Yeah.
Like, I know he's
really good.
He's in the upcoming Han Solo movie. He's in the upcoming live-action Lion King film.
Yeah.
But he needs to be in more.
He's so funny. And he's good. A good actor.
He's very good. He's very good. He's believable, and you root for him in a weird way.
Yeah.
That there's not many actors in which you root for
Have you seen Atlanta yet? I've told you, 20 times you need to watch it.
You told both of us
I've seen one episode, but it's like... It's a situation where I have to buy the season because it's not actually available for me to watch. So I'm like,
eventually,
I know it's a good season.
It's when just the second season comes out, they'll make the first one free so that you can get hyped and watch the second one.
It's like $25, and I'm just like, I should buy it, but
I'll split it with you. I need to watch it too.
Yes, that's actually a good idea.
We should just do that. Okay. Anyway, your picks.
All right, my picks. I'm actually gonna go with Forbidden Island.
Ooh.
So
wait, can you imagine that?
That would be a horror movie, right?
Yeah.
No, I don't actually. I imagine more in the adventure lane where,
kind of like Kong Island.
Kind of like Kong Island.
Kong Island, is that the name of the
movie? Yeah, that's right.
That's the most recent one.
Yeah.
But, like, there's an adventure. It's kind of like Indiana Jones-like in that there's ultimately, they have to find four...
Chris Pratt type of movie.
Oh, yeah.
I could see Chris Pratt.
He could be in it.
I want to see John Cho as a sidekick to Chris Pratt.
Yep.
Sure.
I also see Ruby Rose in that group. Oh, she's kind of, like, almost in the Return of Xander Cage style. Like, it's ridiculous. It's over the top.
Uh-huh.
They are going crazy. All of a sudden,
she's stuck on an island and showed up on the island because the water's sinking.
That's another one where you can have multiple endings, too.
Yes. And there's, like, a nice moment where you see all of a sudden, like, this is a great CGI large action piece. I can get I can see Sony getting behind this because of a sudden you see water like crushing in on this island, and then there's this running sequence off the island to get off, and then eventually in the fine like their water's closing in on them, and then finally
the copter.
This savior of a helicopter comes in, saves them, and they get off with these four artifacts of the world.
Yeah.
Like, that's what,
it's got a sequel written into it for
Exactly.
The same crew goes to the desert, and you're like, why are you putting yourself in this situation again? But
you're into it.
They're
into it.
And they
CGI
find the artifacts.
Yep.
Oh, they find the artifacts to find a floating ship or a flying ship. Ooh, and then they find their way out of the desert.
This just sounds like such a bad sequel.
It's a bad
sequel. It's like cheaper CGI, but they rely on it more.
Let me be honest here.
Yeah.
These are probably not great films. But they are big. They are high action.
Yeah.
Like, big actors, big money,
big actions.
And there's, like, some action, adventure, everything you need. It's coming out near Christmas Day because you know the whole family's going to go see that.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you have a second one?
Let me think about it for real quick.
You had a second one, right? You already went through two?
Okay. I did.
Yeah.
All right.
I had Clank and Power Grid.
Oh, yeah.
Both of those really good.
Yeah.
I think my follow-up would have to be... I don't know... All right. I just like Carcassonne.
I'll be
honest.
What? How does this turn into a movie?
It doesn't.
Yeah. Okay, so it's like Battleship.
This is my moment where I'm just like... Hey, you know what?
Yeah.
I really like
Carcassonne. All right, we're going to hear you make it up as you talk.
Yeah. So, what I like about Carcassonne...
There's farmers, there's castles, there's monasteries.
It's the aspect of bringing, like, building a world around you.
Well, maybe so I think, like Inception.
I think how that plays out is there's kind of a fog of war situation. You don't know what is out there, but you also have the opportunity to build what's out there.
Mm.
So I think it's a little bit of Inception. There's kind of a sci-fi element, but it's rooted in a kind of serfdom or kingdom-oriented world.
Ben, I just came up with a title for this.
Oh, let's hear it.
It's not Carcassonne?
No.
Carcassonne doesn't sell well to the audience.
What is it?
It was when he said there's a sci-fi aspect.
Okay.
It just came to me.
Let's hear
and
it.
And I think you just have to run with it. Oh, like, don't why question wouldn't I? This. Why just would, yes and.
Why would I question it?
Castles and aliens.
There we go. It's basically, it's the sequel to Cowboy. No, it's probably the sequel. Castles prequel. It's prequel. The prequel to Cowboys and Aliens.
Do we still have...
Cue to Chris Pratt waking up with a weird bracelet around his wrist.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't know what it's about, but like he finds himself in medieval Europe. He has no idea what's going around him.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he like types something in on his bracelet. All of a sudden, a monastery comes down right in front of him.
Yeah.
Bam!
Yeah.
He finds his way out of whoever's following him. The thieves that are behind him trying to steal whatever he has, probably his bracelet, because, hey, that costs a ton of gold.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the movie.
Well, yeah, I think Clint Eastwood shows him his way around.
For sure, Clint Eastwood's not in Cowboys and Aliens.
No, but he could be.
Also, I don't
Castles
want,
and Aliens.
I don't want Clint Eastwood.
You don't want Clint?
Yeah,
not really.
No, Clint.
He had that whole thing at the Republican National Convention where he talked to a chair.
Oh, I forgot. That was uncomfortable.
Yeah. It wasn't great.
Okay. I just could see him, like, show him.
I mean, Daniel around. Craig might show up just as, like, an Easter egg, but, like...
And he has, like, an unexpected accent.
Yeah, that's totally a great Easter egg.
Yeah.
To tie the movies together also, like, I could see that. Anyway.
Like, Matt Damon wasn't in any of the ads, but he shows
Surprise!
Up in the third ad.
Actually, I could see Castles and Aliens having one of those kind of surprise.
And the naming is, like, just ridiculous enough that you get a certain segment of the population just going to see it based on the name alone.
Yeah. And which then, I think Cowboys and Aliens did for sure.
Yeah.
It was like they went because of the name Cowboys and Aliens, and then they saw Daniel Craig, and they were like, oh, okay.
Even though, like...
That was what I did, at least.
Daniel Craig hasn't really been in any good movie besides Bond, correct?
Logan Lucky was
Logan
pretty
Lucky,
good.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Logan Lucky yet. Yeah.
He was good in it.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think I want there to be a surprise, but I never actually...
You go to, like, the castle that people have been fighting over all movie. Surprise, the king is... Who is it? Surprise.
Jeff Goldblum.
It's Jeff Goldblum. There you go.
Yes.
Come yes.
on. Yes.
Is that even a question?
Yeah. I love it. I love it. Yes.
He's ridiculous.
Surprise.
He's like, let's
Jeff
just
Goldblum.
Build a new wing to this castle right over here. This is going to get me like 16 more points.
Yeah. Because there's already two yellows in it, and there's two purples and two blues, but Jeff Goldblum just sticks another yellow in and he takes the whole castle.
Like, he's the guy who's like, I'm just going for it. I need the points.
Yeah.
I need this big win.
Yeah.
He's going for it.
And he winks at you when he does it.
And then he goes like, Jeff Goldblum laughed at MP3.
It's good.
I cannot wait to see Jeff Goldblum in Thor Ragnarok tomorrow morning at 11:30 p.m.
A.M.
Bring it all into my body. Let
I'm
me
ready.
Encompass him.
The face paint.
All of
the
it.
Gray hair.
Just all of it.
He's like
supposedly
top of
he's
the list
not,
of my celebrities that I'd like to meet.
He seems genuine in a weird way.
Yeah, he does.
He knows
with
how to wear a sweater.
You know, we're doing the tabletop series right now. I feel like we should do a...
Jeff Goldblum series?
I do.
Do we watch The Fly?
We do.
We do?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
It's a... I will quote-unquote say it's a horror film.
Okay.
But he is... Have you ever... It's based off the book Metamorphosis.
Oh, Kafka?
Yes.
Oh, okay. But he's a cockroach in that.
Yes, but in this situation, I mean...
He's a Goldblum.
He's a Goldblum that turns into a fly.
Okay.
It's relatively grotesque.
Well, so is...
But I also feel like it's one of the films he's most known for.
Yes, I would agree. What other films besides that?
Well,
Jurassic Park.
But we've already watched that, so we can kind of... I don't know. We've never recorded a podcast.
What was the one that we really liked where he came down in a robe and we thought there was something going on with him and the other character in that movie?
That was Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, Freudian slip there.
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey. So that was Wedding Planner.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. He was in that.
Yeah, he was good in that. He was the best part. Was he the best or...
No, Matthew McConaughey was really good.
He was him with the marshmallow.
And the hanger.
Yeah.
And J-Lo was pretty great in it, too.
Wedding Planner was surprisingly good.
It was surprisingly good.
It was painful.
All right. So besides The Fly, we've already seen Jurassic Park. What else would you want to see Jeff Goldblum in?
Thor.
We've already seen him in Independence Day.
I don't want to see
him. Does he have a big role in the Grand Budapest Hotel?
No.
Mm-mm. No. Okay.
Very minor.
So that kind of throws that out. He's a weird...
He's not in a lot, but he has a weird actor footprint and everything.
No, he has a very big footprint.
He's in a lot, just he's not in a lot of the films that he's in.
He doesn't need a lot
that
of time.
That makes sense. Just think about it. Footprint.
He's actually in a surprising amount of TV.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Portlandia. Portlandia.
He was in Will and Grace. He was in Glee. He was in...
What?
Yeah. He was in Law and Order. He was in...
I had no idea. I'm learning so much about Jeff Goldblum tonight.
Mm-hmm. He's a weird...
Okay, well, maybe we should just watch The Fly.
He was in The Prince of Egypt. Okay. Which is also a good...
I think maybe we should just watch The Fly. That feels like one of his, like...
Leanna, I'm just going to say this, but I don't think you're going to like
The Fly. I don't think I am either, but...
Like, The Fly is the kind of film that I have heard people say that when they were 13, they watched it unknowingly, and it kind of scarred them in a weird way. Like, it's that kind of film.
Okay, I kind of take it back. Maybe we shouldn't watch it.
Like, this isn't the type of Jeff Goldblum you fall in love with kind of film. But maybe it's the kind of film that, like, you're already in love with Jeff Goldblum, so you understand it more.
I'll think about it.
Okay.
So Clue was really good.
Yeah, wow. We really didn't talk about this movie that much.
We talked about it enough.
We did? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we haven't given our just general thoughts. I think general thoughts, and then let's wrap this up. Okay. How does that sound?
I liked it.
I liked it, too.
I had a
was that
very
a surprise?
Fun time. Yeah, yes. It was.
Okay.
And my friend... Rachel, shout out to Rachel. She told me that she has this movie on DVD because she likes it so much, and I was shocked. And then I watched it, and I texted her during the movie, and I was like, I get it now.
Yeah.
I would watch this film again.
It's really good.
It was hilarious. We had a really great time.
Yeah.
And one of my friends, Caroline Shoemaker, tweeted at us during, like, as we started watching the film. It's like, hey, this is one of her favorite films, and it's like, yeah, I kind of understand it. Like, there's 3/4 of this film is great. And then there's a moment where it becomes a little too ridiculous. And it's that moment in some films where you have this, like, kooky music going on. It's like, all right, let's all run here. Let's all run over here. Let's all run over here. Let's explain everything to the audience because maybe they didn't pick it up. And that was when the film started to lose me.
But it picks back up.
Yeah, but overall, I like the idea of what the film is going for. I like the ridiculousness of it. And I think the film still feels unique in the aspect that has multiple endings. That is, to this day and age, in 2017, feels unique.
Yeah. It was good.
Yeah, that's two movies in a row where the viewing experience has felt very unique. I feel very lucky to have had that. Because I don't feel like you get that often.
And on films that are kind of unexpectedly good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. With both films, I really wasn't expecting to like them as much as I did.
Like, you don't hear a lot about Clue.
You don't hear a lot about Clue.
But I think Clue would be a great film for...
To be inspired by.
Yeah, to be inspired by, and for anyone to just sit down with a group of friends and watch and draft characters, and you'd have a really fun time. Yeah.
Yes. There is one thing that's really weird. Like, in the first half of the film, there's a lot of weird, like, maybe, like, sexual harassment moments that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like, some aspects of it are played better than others, where it's like, why would you even throw this in? Like, it doesn't actually add anything to the film. It's not that hilarious. Like, there's one moment when I think maybe Miss Peacock looks over at Miss Scarlet's bosom, and like that plays a little better in a weird way.
Or the, like the moment where I'm gonna forget her name, the French maid,
Yvette.
She's everyone's sitting down on the couch, and she just like flips her skirt up as she sits down.
Yeah, like it's subtle enough that it works.
Yes. It's funny in this weird way, and then there's other times where it's like creepy and uncomfortable.
Yeah, like they need to defy expectations and buck the trend a little bit for that to actually be funny. Where at this point, it kind of just leans into what is already known and gross and unfortunate. And especially now, like, I wonder who worked on this film and was like, okay, this aspect. Mm-hmm. And if that and that most definitely leads into the larger, especially now with the situation between like Kevin Spacey, Harvey Weinstein, James Toback and the entire like cavalcade of people coming out and actually saying their stories in Hollywood about their sexual assault and sexual harassment and how great that is, that the floodgates have opened in a lot of ways. But it also makes me think, like, who was on the film that kind of allowed these aspects to happen when there's not actually a lot of humor in it, when it ultimately puts down the victims and doesn't raise them up in a lot of ways. And I wonder, like, to okay that in a writing room means there has to be a certain acceptance of acceptance that is okay to them.
Yeah.
So I wonder, like, who worked on this and how that was accepted. And especially, I mean, I'm not going to say especially now because that was never okay. But looking back on it now, there are some aspects that are ridiculous and it doesn't feel okay. And if they had subverted it a little bit, that would have been interesting. And so you can see a new version of this film that actually plays out nicely.
Well, a new version does exist. They did a teen remake in 2014.
A not rated teen remake using, as Andre mentioned,
the new logo.
To me, the new logo for Clue.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So it'll be interesting to watch that and see how they kind of rewrite the story.
Yeah, I'm not going to add that to my list.
Okay.
No?
Unfortunately.
That you still haven't watched
it yet? We still haven't kicked off this
podcast series. No one's purchased. I said I'd watch them if they were free.
Mm-hmm. What if I buy you an iTunes gift card for your birthday?
Well, then I have no excuse. Then
you know what? And you get to choose.
I do. Okay. I'm excited. I'll do it.
I'm excited too. Like to hear you.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Tell us the story of
Ben. If that's
sequels.
What you get me for my birthday, which I'll have you know is less than a month away.
I know.
We know. I think that's all there is to say about Clue.
I think that, like, and not that that's a bad thing. I think we've been enjoying it.
Yeah. Well.
I think this is a great.
We spent
great place to wrap it up.
Yeah.
As always, we are Munch. Email us at getmunchedup@gmail.com. We would love to answer your questions, thoughts, anything you may have, because we are the Dear Prudence of food and movie podcasts, except we haven't answered actually many questions.
Well, people gotta send
but
them.
But we're willing.
Yes. And then we are on Twitter at getmunchedup. We are on Instagram, getmunchedup. We are on Facebook. Look for Munch Blog or getmunchedup. And we were actually also on Pinterest. I've been slacking on that front a little bit.
But there's
I save
some
stuff.
Really great.
There
really
is.
Great food
I'm trying
on there.
Pinterest is a tough social media platform to deal with.
It is.
Unfortunately. And finally, you can find our content at getmunchedup.com, where we post all of our photos from these movies, and all of our food photos specifically, which we put a lot of time and effort into, and I think we're all really proud of, as well as a lot of writing about the film itself, our thoughts, kind of what we find interesting about the movie itself, as well as some kind of design work in there as well. So please head to getmunchedup.com, and with that, I think this has been another podcast of the Munch Podcast. Good day.